translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all demigods accompanied by the Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you who are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmins and demigods. Purport. In this verse, the word Dvija Deva Mantram is very important. The word mantra means that which delivers one from the material world. Only the Dvijas, the Brahmins, and the Devas, the demigods, can be delivered from material existence by the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a mantra and is suitable for delivering the conditioned souls from mental speculation. The conditioned souls are engaged in the struggle for existence, manasya-stanindriyani prakriti-stani-karshati. Deliverance from this struggle constitutes the highest benefit, but unless one gets a mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, deliverance is impossible. The beginning mantra is the Gayatri mantra. Therefore, after purification, one is qualified to become a Brahmana, Dvija. He is offered the Gayatri mantra. Simply by chanting the Gayatri mantra, one can be delivered. This mantra, however, is suitable only for the Brahmins and demigods. In Kali Yuga, we are all in a very difficult position, in which we need a suitable mantra that can deliver us from the dangers of this age. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Lord Chaitanya gives us the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiran Yata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. In his Sikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya says, Parang Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the chanting of Shri Krishna Sankirtan, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly chanted by the Lord Himself, who gives us this mantra for deliverance. We cannot invent any means to be delivered from the dangers of material existence. Here even the demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the Prajapatis such as Daksha are said to be like illuminating sparks in the presence of the Supreme Lord, who is compared to a great fire. Sparks are beautiful as long as they are in the fire. Similarly, we have to remain in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always engage in devotional service, for then we shall always be brilliant and illuminating. As soon as we fall from the service of the Lord, our brilliance and illumination will immediately be extinguished, or at least stopped for some time. When we living entities who are like the sparks of the original fire, the Supreme Lord, fall into a material condition, we must take the mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as it is offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we shall be delivered from all the difficulties of this material world. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakandvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanjade Satarine. So if even the demigods are these big controllers of the universe, if even they are little tiny sparks, what is our position? Is it? So we have to be humble. We have to be humble. It's a very important thing. Without humility, we are lost. Without humility, we will have no taste for the name. And if we have no taste for the name, whereabouts unknown? That nama ruchi, that taste for the name, is so vital, so important. So we have to have that humility. Humility means we develop proper relationships with each other. Humble servants of the devotees. Actually, we can't go any deeper in our relationship with Krishna and with the holy names than we go with the devotees. So you want to have a pure relationship with Krishna? You want to have a pure relationship with Krishna's holy name? If we want to do that, we have to have a pure relationship with the devotees. And what does pure mean? It means service, not exploitation. I use you for my sense gratification. It means I try to help you become Krishna conscious. That is what it means to have a pure relationship. Service. True love means giving service. Not that I want to use you for my own benefit. You see, I want to help you. That is service. So by developing that mood of serving Vaishnavas, always trying to help the devotees to be happy in Krishna consciousness. And actually that ultimately means all living entities. Because every single living entity is actually a devotee of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Dasi, but they've forgotten, that's all. Everyone's actually a devotee. They're just covered. There's covered devotees and uncovered devotees. And devotees in the middle becoming uncovered. That's us. Trying to get uncovered, you see. So, our service to Krishna is to assist him in this mission of delivering all the living entities. And by that service to this mission of delivering the fallen living entities, we become delivered. As it is sometimes said, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So how much Krishna do we want? A little bit of Krishna? A lot of Krishna? We want the full Krishna? How much Krishna do we want? You see? To whatever extent we are actually dedicated to serving Krishna and spreading his glories all over this mundane world, to that extent we get Krishna. So even if we can muster up a little bit of a desire to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, do it. Even just a little desire, you see. Because a little bit, if we can even taste a little bit of sankirtan rasa, the sweet flavor of preaching Krishna consciousness, even just a little bit, that becomes very, very encouraging, very, very intoxicating. And then we can chant Hare Krishna. We can chant, actually, very nicely, if we're in that mood of giving Krishna. Krishna's real. He's a person. He's not an imagination. He's not a myth. Krishna is everywhere. You can't avoid him, but we're not connected with him due to our selfishness. This is actually very nicely stated in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyasauracharitam jagananda kotim yatschakterasti jagananda chayagyadanta andantarasva paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity. As there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creations of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. And Brahmaji says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Just imagine a person who's actually present within every atom. All the universes are emanating from him. He's present in every single atom, and we are actually allowed to be an associate of that person. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and these wonderful acharyas, we are allowed the privilege to actually become an associate of that person who emanates all the universes and who is present within every atom that is scattered throughout these universes at one and the same time. The world is not what it appears to be. With our blunt senses, we have a certain perception of what is England, what is UK, what is Europe, what is the Earth planet. We have a certain vision. It's all based on lust. And what I can get out of it for my sense gratification. This is blindness. It's miserable, actually. It's very miserable. But when we can actually take the wonderful guidance from Srila Prabhupada and these wonderful, wonderful acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, when we can take this guidance from these great illuminated personalities, then we can see things differently. Gradually we can become healed from the wounds of our lust. Gradually, what now is actually a blur. We may think we have very good vision, but actually we're very blurred. Everything's a blur for us right now, you see. But by this process, you see, premanjana charita bhakti valochanena. By this process, gradually the blur goes away and Krishna comes into focus. Actually, Krishna is already present, but our vision is so blurred out we can't see him. We just see the external energy. But by this very, very sublime process given by our beloved Lord Gauranga, gradually, Krishna becomes visible. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. 538 Brahma Samhita. This is very important. Eye ointment. Angana. Anjana in Sanskrit. We say ointment. And there's also in English the word ungament, which is very obviously similar to anjana. So we can somehow get this prema anjana, this ungoverned, this ointment of love of God, this salve of love of God, apply it to our vision. Then we will see things differently. We won't see things egocentrically. We'll see them Krishna-centeredly, you see. We'll see everything is emanating from Krishna. Everything is emanating from Krishna. And therefore it all has to be recycled back to Krishna. Just like in modern day, they say, well, if you don't recycle, it pollutes the atmosphere, right? You got to recycle, Prabhu. Otherwise, you're polluting the atmosphere. Well, the highest sense of that is you have to recycle all of this energy back to Krishna. Otherwise, you're polluting the atmosphere, Prabhu. If we're not recycling this energy, we are polluting. We are polluters. If we're not recycling this energy back to Krishna, everything is the energy of Krishna. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantam rishati. One who sees Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme owner of all the energies. You see? And the best friend, suhridam sarva bhutanam, he achieves peace. The Sanskrit word suhrit is very significant. There's different types of friends in Sanskrit. Bandhu is one. But suhrit, that is the most intimate friend. Heart, you see. One who is very, is suhrit. Hrit means heart. So the one who is in one's heart, who always keeps within one's heart, that's the dearmost friend. There's Mitra, Bandhu, and Suhrit. The Suhrit is the most intimate friend. So that is Krishna. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. So we can see Krishna as our most intimate friend, the owner of everything and the enjoyer of everything. Of course, that's natural. The owner is the enjoyer. It's like, who gets to enjoy your car? Only you do. If somebody else tries to enjoy it, you call the police. A thief is trying to enjoy my car. You see? The owner is the enjoyer. So, since everything is owned by Krishna, including ourselves, we are the property of Krishna. Therefore, everything is to be enjoyed by Krishna. And if we don't engage it in Krishna's service, we are thieves, plain and simple. We're criminals. If we don't engage everything in Krishna's service. And if we do engage it in Krishna's service, then we become dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. In carpentry, the dovetailed joint is a very solid joint. So we need to be fully dovetailed in a very, very solid connection with Krishna. Very, very solidly connected with Krishna. In this way, no more birth and death. We'll enter an eternal relationship. Actually, we already have such a relationship with Him that we've forgotten. We'll regain our original relationship with Krishna. After all, this is nothing artificial, you know. The Hare Krishnas are not really artificial people. They're the most genuine people. That's why I like associating with you all. You're the most genuine people in the universe. Because you're reconnecting with your eternal identities. That day will come. We'll all be back and sitting on the bank of the Jamuna in Golok. Actually, Prabhupada said we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada also wrote in one letter, Just as Narada Muni remembered his previous lifetimes, he says, we will remember. We go back to the spiritual world, we'll remember. And that's pretty amazing. You know, we can remember what we, you know, what we did here at the manor, what we did in Vrindavan, what we did in Mayapur, we remember the day we were in the Ratha Yatra. We can remember all these things. We'll be able to remember these wonderful experiences. Prabhupada, one letter in the database, Prabhupada talks like them. So we're building up a stock of wonderful transcendental memories, you see, Krishna conscious memories. I remember when I first joined the ashram as a brahmachari back in 71. My mind was filled up with so much garbage of all the sense gratification I had been engaging in, you know. And I was thinking, how am I going to get this stuff out of my head? You know, it just keeps going around like a movie in my brain, all this garbage I'd been engaged in, you know, all these nonsense things I'd been doing. But then I realized, but now you're tasting a new pleasure in the Hare Krishna movement. You're doing this, you're doing that, and you're getting all these new memories. And gradually those memories will just squeeze out the old ones because they're much better, actually. And that's about how it works, you know. The more you engage in Krishna consciousness, the more those memories of, you know, sinful activities, nonsense activities, they just keep fading away more and more, and finally they just, and they don't haunt you anymore. And you, Jai Shiva Hare Krishna. So there's really nothing more sublime than this. There's no sense even thinking about anything else except for becoming a pure devotee, as we had in our nice seminar last night. Probably reading a wonderful purport from Prabhupada in the Naradi Bhakti Sutra 1-2. Prabhupada described in detail this process of going from Shraddha to Prema. Very nicely, Prabhupada elaborates that on that in this particular purport we studied last night. So we really should take that as our goal. My goal is to achieve pure love of God. And that's it. I have no other business except to achieve pure love of God. You see, everything else I'm doing, you know, whether I may be a preacher, a book distributor, a pujari, but I'm taking this as the medicine to help me come to the point of Krishna prema. Whatever service I'm asked to do by guru, by temple authorities, etc., that is my particular program for achieving Krishna prema, pure love of God. We have to see that as the ultimate goal. That's very, very important. We see that attaining pure love of God, that's the goal. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to achieve pure love of Krishna. Shuddha bhakti. You see? Because actually nothing else will satisfy us. I may become recognized as a preacher, a book distributor, a manager, a pujari, a cook, a cowboy, cowherd boy, or any, you know, a sannyasi, a guru, any GBC. I may be recognized in some position, but these things don't satisfy in themselves. The only thing that can actually satisfy us is to achieve pure love of God. Anything short of pure love of God will not be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Of course, the endeavor to achieve it is very satisfying. And that, at our level, that's where we have to find our satisfaction in the endeavor to become pure devotees. But striving for anything else, name and fame within ISKCON or something like that, it's just, you know, it's not really where it's at. Where it's really at is trying to develop pure love of God. Actually, Prabhupada, I remember I was in Atlanta back in 75. It was a wonderful gathering of devotees there, come from all over the U.S. And Prabhupada was in Atlanta. There's about 300 devotees in the temple room for the Sunday program. And so one Sankirtan devotee, he just pulled in with his van of brahmacharis. He's pretty fired up. He said, Srila Prabhupada, question and answer time, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? You know, Prabhupada always said this Shivan books, when, what pleases you the most? It looked like we, it just looking at him, it looks like we were just waiting to hear book distribution. He was going to go, ah. Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So that's really, and then the devotees were in ecstasy to hear that answer because it's so transcendental, it's so right on, it's so pure, you know. Because everything we do, we have to, that has to be the motive. To awaken my feelings of love for Krishna. Whatever I'm doing, distributing books, offering an RT, raising children, maintaining a family, whatever I'm doing for Krishna, that should be the goal. I'm trying to awaken that feeling of love for Krishna. You see? If we keep that focus throughout our lives, then we'll be able to weather all the ups and downs of devotional life. And there are certainly many ups and downs. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. Because we're still here within the modes of nature, battling it out. Is it? But if we always keep this goal, I'm trying to develop pure love for Krishna. This is what I'm up to. This is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. Then, and with that fixity of mind, that fixity of consciousness, whatever, you know, whatever you may get, honor, dishonor, neglect, worship, whatever you may get, you see, you'll be able to handle it. So we just have to keep that focus, and then everything will be all right. Have no problems. Because after all, Krishna at every minute is trying to do everything he can to bring us to that position of pure love. Everything that happens to us is actually being orchestrated directly or indirectly by Krishna to bring us to that point of pure love. Everything, at every minute, throughout our whole existence within this material cycle of birth and death. So we have to see that, we have to recognize that, and we have to reciprocate with Krishna's sincere endeavor to take us out of this cycle of birth and death. And then nothing will be able to stop us. You see, ahaitakiya pratiyata. If that has this mood of purely serving Krishna, nothing can interrupt it. Nothing. There's no force in the material world that can interrupt the mood of someone who is trying to purely serve Krishna. No one can interrupt it. It can never be broken by anything. A pratiyata cannot be broken. It's like our devotees in Russia, back in the old days of the KGB. Nothing could break their determination to serve this mission of Srila Prabhupada. Even death, even torture, could not break their determination. So, let us always be determined that nothing, I will never let anything stand in the way of my dedication to Srila Prabhupada, to Lord Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Nothing will ever take me away from it. For all of eternity, let me be eternally fixed in that service. So I can ask now if there's any questions. How to cultivate the strong desire for pure devotional service? Well, it's a matter of intelligence. As that Bhagavatam verse says, Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. This is the only way you can be satisfied. If the only thing that will satisfy me is pure devotional service, why should I put my energy elsewhere? This is common sense. It's like saying, well, I need to get to downtown London. Well, I can go this way, this way, this way, or this way. Take the path that gets me there, you see. Why should I go another way, which is not going to get me there? That's intelligence. So the only way I can become satisfied, fully satisfied, superseded, the only way I can become satisfied is to take to pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. That's the only way. So it's a matter of intelligence. Just like saying, well, I want to go to, just like today, I'm flying to Vrindavan. So how can I get motivated to get on, to go to the airport and get on the airplane that's going to Delhi? How can I? It's just an intelligence. Of course I'm going to do that because I'm going to go to Vrindavan. Should I get on a plane that's going to Trinidad? Is he? How can I get motivated to get on the airplane to Delhi? Well, it's a simple thing. I want to go to Vrindavan and that's what I have to do. I got to fly that direction to India. You see? So how can I get motivated? Because I want to go to Vrindavan, therefore I have no problem. I will naturally get on the airplane that's flying to Delhi. And, you see, if I want to go to Vrindavan. So how can you get motivated for pure devotional service? Because you want to be happy and satisfied in life, don't you? Therefore, it's a no-brainer. Pure devotional service is not a big thing. It's like saying I'm hungry. Now, how do I motivate myself to go eat? How do I motivate myself to get to the Vishadam room? You don't need to. You're hungry. If you're hungry and you have any brains, you'll naturally go to the Vishadam room. So naturally, I think Vishadam time is coming soon. what do you need to motivate you to get to the Vishadam room? You're hungry, that's all. So if you're actually hungry to be satisfied and happy, then that in itself will take you. It's a matter of being properly educated by the bona fide spiritual master, by the bona fide Vaishnavas, by the bona fide scriptures. With proper education, you will naturally do it. It's not that somebody has to, set off a bomb to get you moving in the right direction. Simply, you have to understand what it actually takes to be happy, to be truly satisfied, only by unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord can one be happy, Bhagavatam states very clearly. Okay? Anything else?